Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. We worship you. Father, as we look to your word, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit that is our teacher. He is our guide. He leads us and guides us into all truth. I yield myself to you. I thank you for boldness and utterance and the love of God to express truth today. We expect to hear from you, Father. Father, that minds will be transformed by your word, that light will come where darkness was, and expel that darkness in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we hear your word, we promise that we will not treat the most precious treasure of all, which is your words, as half-hearted or lightly, but we will take those words, hear them, have them implanted in our hearts, and we will be doers of what you said and not hearers only. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. And I'm going to teach about what we did already. I'm going to start a new series, and it's not really a series, I guess, necessarily. I mean, it is, but it's not one where I can, you know, plot a word all the way through the scriptures and kind of, as I go, break it down. I'm going to talk about success. And what my plan is to just go through different things that the Holy Spirit puts on my heart where success happened in according to God. Amen? Not according to man's success. You know, sometimes I'll watch people that have gone a long ways in sports or different things, and they talk about success. And, you know, God's kind of a side note in the success. He's more like, Lord, please get me there and I'll give you some credit, but really this is all about me. How many have noticed that with athletes? You know, they act like they made themselves. You know, they give themselves heartbeats. Hello. Okay. It's not real humble. There are some genuine ones, you know, but the nature of the flesh and the nature of the enemy and the nature of this world is pride. Pride has to say, well, you know, I did this, you know, that's why evolution is so popular. It's, you know, it's like I pulled myself up from the bootstraps. By the bootstraps, I flopped onto the sand out of the water and strained and got rid of gills and all of a sudden had lungs. You know, I climbed up, I was in the tree, but I somehow knocked my tail off. So it's the nature of man to be prideful when all of creation around you says that there is a designer to everything. And that designer is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and then the Holy Spirit. And that Trinity is what brought us all into being. You actually have heartbeats because God's giving them to you. And he's not only given to you, you know, sometimes people use that scripture that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, da-da-da-da. And they try and use that for a negative, but that's a positive. It's actually God is giving heartbeats to those who don't believe him, atheists that hate him, that despise anything about him for whatever reason. The reasons may be legitimate, they may not be. But for whatever reason, you say, why is that? Because God is extremely, 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 extremely over and above, just massively oozes mercy, compassion, love. It's his nature. He is love. He doesn't try and have it. He is it. He's not just acting a certain way. It comes out of him. It is his nature. It's his core. So everything that you see that Jesus did was an expression of love. Okay? So sometimes the world has this idea about success, and that success is temporary and fleeting. I don't know if you've ever read the last words of some famous people before, especially actors, actresses, stuff like that. I mean, they're very... they're not great. You know, a lot of it's, man, it was so short. And what did I really accomplish? You know, they bemoan the fact that they don't really have real relationships that include love and fellowship. They got a lot of money. They got a lot of fame and all that. But they didn't come out of to the end of their life going, ah, yeah, that's it. See, my goal is to come to the end of my life and go and have the Lord go, well done, Sean. Not well, Sean, you just, yeah, Not well, well done. Everybody say, I'm shooting for well done. I'm shooting for well done. So I don't want to just eke in the gates. You know what I mean? I want to just blow them wide open. And not for me, for his glory. That he would be famous in this earth. Amen? That he would see, that he would be raised up, and that all men would be drawn unto him. And when we get that vision in us, then success can happen. So I want to talk about praise this morning. And this isn't going to be a series on praise necessarily, but in talking about success. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And then I feel like, I don't know how much I'll get into this. I have a few different things that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say to some individuals here, so I'm going to deliver that. And then we'll go from there. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is Jehoshaphat. How many heard of that guy before? How many glad your name's not Jehoshaphat? I'd go, just call me Joe. Just Joe's good. Chapter 20, verse number 1 says this. And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now if you read chapter 19, you'll find out that Jehoshaphat had made a decision to follow God. He actually made a decision. He set up new judges, and he, which is kind of interesting because of where we're at right now in our nation. Okay? But these judges, the men of God said to these judges, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, but you can read it in chapter 19 if you go back later. But they said this to the judges. They said, take heed to what you are doing, for you are not, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. He says this, now therefore let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. How many think that might be good in politics? Hello. Then he says this, thus you shall act in fear of the Lord faithfully with a loyal heart. So when you have a position of authority, I don't care if you're the boss of your dog. Everybody wants to be the boss of something. Even if it's the dog. You better do it with the fear of the Lord and justly and loyally. Amen? And so this has just been set up for the people of Judah. Jehoshaphat has done this. And right after righteousness is being established, what happens? They get attacked. How many have said, I'm going to serve God. And then the next week, all hell broke loose. Hello! It felt like, you know, you're like, man, you know, the Moabites showed up, and then the Ammonites showed up, and all the otherites showed up. It was a, you know, how many have ever felt like that before? Rejoice! It means you made the right decision. We started going to this church, and man, everything started coming up. Good, you might as well clean out the well. Anybody that's been gone very far with the Lord knows that we all need a good scrubbing every once in a while. Amen. So this happens. In verse 2 it says this, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat did what? How many have ever felt fear before? The rest of you, we'll have a service later where you can repent. Because you on the planet, you felt it. But what? How did he respond? And it says this, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. Notice it was a new court. Okay? And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Now, listen, God's not forgetful. You say, what do you mean? Jehoshaphat's not like, remember God, you're God. Don't forget. He's stirring himself up. You know, the Lord said what? Put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. I do this all the time. I mean, it's my life. I put myself in remembrance. When things are look a certain way, I go, no, we cannot be defeated now. We will not quit now. We are more than, we fight the good fight of faith. And when we've done all we can to stand, we
stand firm.
You know, but the devil's doing this and this. I'm standing. Come on, you're standing. For your work, for your family, for your situation, you're standing. You're not a quitter. I don't see quitters in front of me. I don't see quitters. I see champions in the spirit. All that God is ever trying to do is convince us of what he already made us. People say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, that's just your feelings. You can change those. You can change those. He says this, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? So whatever you're facing, it is not able to withstand your God. I said, whatever you're facing, it is not able to withstand your God. It is not. It is not able to stand before your God. And this is good. I mean, you should, you know, I'm going to take you over to Acts 4 after this, and they repeat pretty much this passage. After they went through some tough stuff. I'm not saying, people say, well, it's the word of faith. You know, Christian, we got there. You never have a problem again. Whatever word of faith church you went to that told you that, they lied. They are either ignorant or didn't know or whatever. I mean, Paul was his word of faith. He's the one that came up with the phrase word of faith. He said, this is the word of faith which we preach, right? Did Paul have any trouble? You know, by some people, if you listen to them, you would think that you don't have any faith if you have trouble. Well, Paul was not a good example for their message then. Right? No, the word of faith means, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That means there's shadow over there and shadow over there and demons over here and demons over there. And you go, I will fear no evil. What are you doing? I got the flashlight on. I got to know where to walk. You know, you got to know what to do. And that's what you got to stir yourself up in that. And then he says this. Verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? What are you? You're a descendant of Abraham. Verse 8, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name. Now, glory to God, you is the sanctuary. God doesn't have to, he doesn't have to dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in you. So wherever you are, there you are, and so is God. Right? You don't have to go to, you don't have to come here to talk to God. He's in the car. He's in your house. He's with you. He's in you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. What people do is they forget God's with them. Why? Because they yielded to fear instead of setting themselves to seek God. Amen. And then it says this. He says this. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary, verse 8, in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in the temple. Where is the name now? So it doesn't matter if disaster comes against you or sword or judgment or pestilence or famine. When you've done all you can to stand. And then he says this. He says, and cry out to you in our affliction, and what? And you will, and say, God hears and saves. Every time. Every time I cry out, he hears, he saves. Every time. He's faithful. He watches over his word and performs it. Every single time. People say, well, you know, that's the Old Testament, brother. I know, read 1 John. When we make petitions to him, we know he, and if we know he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Right? Even the Apostle John believed it. So it's good for you too. Amen. He hears every time. I don't have a deaf God. I don't have a God that I have to pick up and put back on the pedestal. Years ago, Brother Hagin was having a meeting somewhere. It was in a hotel. And you know, you can rent conference rooms. Well, the one next to him, it was some meeting of something, but it was a bunch of foreign gods, and they had all these gods, you know, that they set up, that they made on pillars. Well, the Spirit of God got to moving in Brother Hagin's meeting, and people got to dancing and shouting and running. All the gods in the other room, the floor shook. They fell. See, I don't got to pick my God up. You're gonna, oh, I'm sorry about that. You're going to get you back up on here. Now you can rule again. I don't have a God I need to pick up. I got a God who picks me up. Woo! Glory to God. I almost ran. I almost did it. Verse 11 says this. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Verse 12, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. That's good news right there. Amen. And then verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He is fighting our battles for us. We are fighting the fight of faith. You say, what does that mean? We are staying, making sure, keeping ourselves in a position of battle faith. We believe. Well, how's the situation going to change? By our faith. The Lord is fighting for you. He's fighting for you. Come on. People come in here and they, you know, we dress up and put deodorant on, hopefully, and, you know, fluff it and tuck it and tighten it and, tuck it in and iron it out and stretch it, spray paint it, you know. Put something, you know, smell good on it. But all of you are facing things. Some, it may be what we might consider in our minds bigger than others. But everybody's got something that they're dealing with. The Lord is fighting your battles. And he'll do it, and he is faithful to do it as we trust him. Faith is the avenue, amen? And so he says this, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Now listen to me. The prophet is not, and the Lord is not telling you don't have feelings. How many have ever felt afraid? But just because you felt it doesn't mean you yielded to it. God is not telling you don't have feelings. He's saying, look, recognize which ones to accept and which ones to... Because everything in this life is influenced by one of two spiritual forces, God or the devil. Oh, no, there's a lot more than that. Nope, there's two, God or the devil. That's it. Now, the devil has lots of names for his. God's like, I just need one name. I don't need that kind of confusion. One God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the enemy has tons of opportunity, tons of ways, tons of feelings and thoughts and all these sorts of things constantly working and pumping in the earth. But there are only two forces. So learn spiritually which are which. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and Jesus came to give life and life. If the thought comes and it has that smell of death, you know, devil, I resist that thought in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I could go deeper there, but I just don't have time. Maybe we will as we go. We'll see what happens. But this verse 16 says this, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up to the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. That's nice to know where your enemy is going to be. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. How many are in Christ? You've been positioned. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Do you know what the word dismayed means? Confused. He said, but I feel confused. Yeah, that's a feeling and a thought. You resist it and you go, I will not be confused. I submit to the word of God. Come on, you got to submit to the word of God. You submit to the word of God. I will not be confused. I will not receive confusion. And you resist that thing. You know, this is like spiritual warfare 101A. Guard your mind. People say, well, I can't help the thoughts. No, no, no. Your mind is your mind. Guard it. Jesus, the Lord did not say through the apostles, take as many thoughts as you possibly can captive. And I understand if you get tired, go ahead and lay down for a while. He said, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? To the obedience of the resurrection that is in you. What he accomplished. Well, I just don't know. I'm not, people can't love me. I just don't feel loved. Take it captive, for God so loved. You are loved. Take the thought with your words. Speak the word. He says this, O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping him. How many know there's a time to worship him? And bow before him. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices, what? What? Well, that's not supposed to happen in church. Whoops. They didn't know. What'd they do? Loud? Well, I just don't like them loud churches. You're going to have a tough time in heaven. I'll just let you know ahead of time. Lord, do you have a quiet church? I wouldn't say that to him once you get up there. I'll just be honest. You just might as well get in and enjoy it. Might as well practice now. There's a time to bow, but there's also a time to get up and go, hey, glory. Hallelujah. My God is going to battle for me. You say, well, I just don't want to do it around other people. You might as well get over yourself and just, hey, glory. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord said he's going to battle for you. Now, I believe this is for people specifically. I believe this is going to happen. We're going to see it. It says this, verse 20, so they rose early in the morning. Why? Because it's time to go out because the Lord's about to whoop everything. It's come against me. And he went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. See, more faith. I knew it was in there. And he said, you shall be established, believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Now, prophets, and of course, that's a part of it. But the word of God today is the same thing. You say, well, you don't believe in prophets. I believe in apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. I believe in governments. I believe in gifts of miracles and healings. I believe in tongues and interpretation. You say you do that. I flow in it. Well, I don't understand it. Well, come to the believers meeting. We'll help you. I believe in all of it. But I know who man is. And under the old covenant, the word of the Lord came through the prophet. But under the new covenant, the word of the Lord lives in you. In you. He lives in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says this, verse 20, 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing. You know, you got to do that. Because some people think they can sing, and then some people can actually sing. Some people make a joyful noise. We bless you. We're just not going to appoint you. I'm just helping Mark out. You just get that out there now. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, they went saying what? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, look at this. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Come on, you got to think about this. Think about this. These are not like, you know, guys they picked up off the street. You ever shot a gun before? We're going to war. We need bodies. These are trained, lifetime soldiers. And they were in such a place of derision, such a place of confusion, because the hand of the Lord was over the enemies of the people of God, that they all turned, down to the last two guys. You'd think you'd stop. What? We should go home, dude. No. Same time. And they kill each other. That's a miracle. I was watching. How many ever heard of Rod Parsley before? I don't like the TV preachers. You would just get over it. You'll be fine. Go ahead and love them. They're your brother in the Lord. You're going to probably live next to them if you not like them enough. Got to be like, you didn't learn how to walk in love on earth. So you're going to. Anyway, so he was talking about how his church, I don't remember what they did. They did some sort of something in the city in like a march or something like that. and they were praying and stuff like that. And while they were out there, they were actually standing against some sin that was going on in the city. And the city, these people were having a unified thing against the church and stuff like that. And they were praying for these people. And as they were praying for them, there was a lady who was in the group that was the group with Rod Parsley's church that was there, who was deaf in her ears. Both ears were deaf. And while they were praying, while they were doing this, all of a sudden her ears popped open and she was healed instantly. In other words, what? The enemy turned on himself and boom, and then it ended and God's glory was shown. Just like that. She came out in righteousness. The enemy is the author of everything that deforms. And all of a sudden, they didn't know what to do. The enemy looks at each other and goes, we'll kill each other. You know, it's a bad idea to go to war and attack yourself. It's a miracle what happened. You say, how could that happen? Listen, your God has the power. The enemy can have a plan for your life. Come on, he had a plan for mine. He did. Boy, he tried hard. He did a pretty good job for a while. He's bound to wish he would have killed me when he had the chance. Too late now. Well, you never know, Sean. I'll be satisfied with long life. Don't talk to me about never know. The Bible doesn't say you have the Holy Ghost. You never know. You have an unction from the Holy One and you never know. Is that in the Bible? I need to see. If it's in yours, I'm going to fix your Bible. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know. You know all things that you need to know. Amen. Why? I got the Holy Ghost. He knows everything about everything. Come on, he knows about woodworking. He knows about cooking. He knows about raising kids. Come on, he knows about all of that. And don't let the enemy pull you into condemnation about the past. Kick him in the teeth. Say, it's under the blood, dummy. Quit bringing it up. Yeah. Amen. You say, you can't talk to the devil like that. It's not nice, Sean. Yes, you can be as mean to the devil as you want to be. Just hack him up with your words, okay? Not people, the devil. So they killed, not one of them escaped. And then verse 25, it says this. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Like, no sense that dead body having those nice jewelry things. We might as well put it on somebody who's living. You say, what is that typical of? That is typical of Christ, who became everything that was death and then raised up and became everything that is life and abundant life. It's a type. It's a shadow. You're saying that we should have the blessing of God on our lives? Unequivocally, we should have the blessing of God upon our lives. If you read the Bible and you come out with a different understanding, you're not reading it correctly. And you say, well, is that the end all? No, it's not the end all. But I will tell you this. The Lord is good. And when you get to heaven, it's not going to be efficiency apartments. Well, we don't believe, you know, in too nice a streets, so there's no thrift stores there. I'm glad you laughed about that. The Bible says in heaven that you'll have a mansion. If you look that word up in the Greek, it means a landed estate. It actually is the word manor. I didn't write it. I'm just going to go, show me, Lord. People go, well, you don't deserve it. I am well aware of what I deserve. That's why I entered grace through faith. Amen. You say, so what's the lesson? Well, we practiced it before we preached it. You worship, you praise God, you honor the Lord, you bring him glory. Amen. Just stay seated if you would. Josh, will you just, well, Shane, you want to play those keys? Thanks. I got to do this. I don't necessarily normally do this, but it's not abnormal to me. It's a little bit new, somewhat new to this church, but not abnormal. I just need to deliver a couple of words to people. You know, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 12, that the gifts of the Spirit, some of them are the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. There's prophecy, tongues and interpretation, all those things, and they tie together. And so I am just going to do this. Let's just thank you, Lord. We just worship you. Lift your hands and praise him. Father, we just honor you and glorify you. I just deliver this general word to everybody. Believe on the Lord and believe in what he says about you. For the plans that he has for you, they are above and beyond all you could ask or think. There are some here that have stepped in a little bit, or maybe even stepped in and backed out. You're not sure about some of the things that you've heard. Go back to the Word and study and look. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak to you. Because the Spirit of the Lord would say unto everyone here, you have not even touched the depth of what I want to do for you. There is far more. It is far greater than what you see even now. There is more to be done. Don't be disheartened by maybe what you saw in the past and you thought the Lord was going to do, but yet it hasn't come to pass. The word of the Lord is true and endures forever. It never stops. All it is looking for is a person who continues and remains in faith. The answers are coming. The answers are coming. Now, okay, if you want to look at me, please. In the back here, you, sir, with the hat. What is your name? What is it? Albert? And is this your wife? Okay. The Lord's not done yet. You may have zigged and zagged a little bit here. I don't know all the details of what... You're in ministry of some sort. You're a minister? Am I right? Okay. He's not done yet. Don't... Just don't get too antsy, okay? Just settle. It'll be clear, and it'll be clear soon what you're supposed to do. Does that help? Does that help? Okay, it'll be clear. It'll be clear soon. Okay, secondly, this, Patty. I know Patty. Patty's prayed for me for years, I'm sure. I grew up with her son. We were good friends. We're still friends. And so I the Lord was praying, had me praying for you 2 weeks ago. And there's more there. Have you ever heard of Jeannie Wilkerson? Look her up on YouTube. Jeannie Wilkerson. And she is a known prayer. She had a prayer group of women in her basement for like 20 or 30 years. They prayed through the Vietnam War. They prayed through all sorts of stuff. And God really used them. Now, it's not a known position. I mean, it's not a famous position that she had. She later on in her life, she was known more in the church world as the Lord kind of opened those things up. But you've been faithful in prayer for years, years and years. And the enemy has tried to make you think nothing's working. I mean, we all kind of get these thoughts and different things, and it happens. But the Lord has seen it, and he knows it, and he has watched you pray. So if you would come up, I got to lay hands on you. I'll just take one or two ushers. I don't need everybody. If you want to come, Mike, you can. Just Ron and Mike will come. They just stand right here for me. So if you just lift your hands, face me. So basically what I felt like, the Lord is giving you a mandate. And this mandate's going to settle on you now. And the mandate is for this area, but for America to pray. Okay? You're going to pray. Now, maybe you already have. But what I felt like in my heart, what I saw is, as I was praying for you, was simply this, that the area in prayer that you have been faithful in is about to expand. And I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm not talking about in land necessarily, natural things, no, but in the spirit. So in the name of Jesus, I release the impartation into you in Jesus' name. Woo, glory to God. Okay, is that good? All right, good, all right. All right, take it, it's yours. All right, amen. Yes, all right. Secondly, I would just say this. Jason, with your business, you don't even know the half of it yet. You don't even know the half of it yet. You keep your heart right with God, you guys, that family. You don't know the half of it yet. It has not been, I mean, you've broken into it, which took faith. But you don't know the half of it yet. It's coming, more's coming, amen? Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. You said, well, I want one. I know. Stand with me, please. There'll be more. Do you have something? Oh, yes. Glory to God. Forgot about that. It's the 4-year anniversary. So not only do you get spiritually fed, you get to have cake on the way out. How much has God blessed? Who's here from day one? Look at, it's like 12, 13 hands. Look around. 4 years. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endures. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for 4 years. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the Holy Spirit fire that is in this place. Father, not only are we filled here, but now that we are filled as your church, we go out as the filled ones. And this week, we expect to be your hands and feet everywhere we go. We will minister. We will be salt and light as you lead us and guide us. And we are so thankful for it. Your blessing is good, and we are grateful to you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you need prayer for anything, don't be shy. God bless you. See you Wednesday. Right now.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.